He continued, but I just wanted to point out the multiplication of what God is doing. Now, back to Isaiah. God loves his people. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. On each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he did fly. I know the word twain is there, but I just changed it to two for reference reasons. Verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah desired repentance in verse 5. And immediately then, verse 6 says, Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, now he's ready. He's receptive. He's corrected. He's repented. So watch what happens. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. He went from seeing his faults to a repentant state, to a volunteer. All right, verse 9 says, And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said our Lord, How long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But in it, now watch this, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten or received as a till tree and as a yoke, as a till tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Now, this is what Jesus quoted he quoted Isaiah in the parable of the sower. He said, I speak to them and those that are without in parables, that seeing, they may see and not perceive, and hearing, they should hear and not perceive. That's what Jesus said. And understand with the heart and convert and be healed. Now, why would God put verse 10 in there? God said, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with the heart and convert and be healed. These are those that were reluctant unto full disobedience. They were reluctant. They always resisted the Holy Spirit. They didn't listen. They didn't keep. They broke covenant. Wicked people cannot keep covenant. They always break covenant. They desired wickedness. See, before they chose Barabbas over Jesus, they chose Baal over Jehovah. It's the same thing. So God has to have a protocol for the living. Verse 13 shows us the living. A tenth will return and be received. Now, the reason to say, but yet in it shall be a tenth and shall return and shall be eaten as a till tree. It shall be eaten. The previous chapter, verse 5, explains everything. See, chapter 5, God made a vineyard. And then the grapes, he did everything right, but the grapes were wild grapes. And he had to destroy it. But these are good grapes. They could be eaten. They could be received. Now, let me ask you this. If you were hungry right here and now, and you had three choices. You could eat grapes, or you could eat barley, or wheat. Which one would you choose first? Well, you know, the barley and the wheat, you have to make bread with it. You could eat it raw. But wouldn't you rather eat a grape? So Israel is seen as the grapes. They were received and be received by God. God desired them, and he pictured them as food, and he pictured the Gentiles as barley, and also then there's the wheat harvest. But the grapes, okay, a tenth would return and be received as his own people of covenant. See, God said, give no offense to the Jew, the Gentile, or the church. So the Jews that will survive, that will be survivors of the tribulation period. And there's going to be Gentile survivors, and they're going to be Jewish survivors of the tribulation period. Satan's not going to be, he's not going to take everybody out. He's going to try to. He's trying to break God's word, but he can't do it with his Antichrist. They're going to be cast into the bottomless pit alive. So, or they're going to be cast into hell alive. The Antichrist and the false prophet and Satan. He's going to the bottomless pit. But anyway, there will be survivors. A tenth will return and be eaten. So this deception will last, and I was taught it would be in the midst of the tribulation when the Antichrist is revealed. Then their eyes will be open, and they're going to scatter Israel. They're going to try to leave and go to a mountain where God's going to protect them. And all this is going to happen, folks. But I was showing you verse 10 because the Lord has a protocol for the wicked, people that are reluctant. And see, we don't need the reluctance of the world hindering us from going full. In the multiplications, the exponential multiplications of God, we don't need worldly influence at all. It shouldn't exist in our beings. People are struggling for money, for good jobs and prosperity, and ignoring what causes all that. We're not just reluctance against the will of God and helping other people become reunited with him through salvation. We're reluctant against our own lives, better opportunities. We're reluctant to take a promotion, reluctant to work overtime, reluctant that we pray for stuff and the Lord won't answer us. We're reluctant to go forth. But if you seek things through and pay attention to the Holy Spirit, he will navigate you out of all the false thoughts that you received. And we need him to do it. Remember, God has an enemy called Satan. And he's no good. And he has a lot of influence in the world system through deception. Good people believe bad science, false religion. And from false religion and false science, you get an education system. It's controlled thought, folks. Anything of God. See, I grew up in America listening, going to public school. I never heard anything about the Black Robe Regiment. That should have been in history. The king was afraid of the preachers that wanted freedom from England. They left that out of the books. They also left out, they acknowledged that some of the pilgrims were Christian people. But they left so much out. You know, the prayers of George Washington, they left that out. The vision that he had, they left that out. The visions that Abraham Lincoln had, they left that out. And so many other things. That is controlled thought. Now, all the stuff about the Masons and the secret societies, they gladly put that in. And who knows how much of it is authentic. And we don't know the mindset of the day and how they saw things. Unless you do good reading. Now, there's a man called named William Federer. He went and did the research. And people need to listen to what he has to say. I got a book by him called America's God and Country. And it's quotes from people throughout history. People that got to know the Lord. Even Napoleon, he had a quote in there. And see, sometimes people get saved. After they do all that they do, they come to the Lord. Everybody, the enemy hates everybody. I hate nobody. Nobody. But the Lord has a protocol for those who choose to live and want repentance. Like Isaiah. Isaiah wanted repentance. He saw his faults. In the presence of God, you see yourself. You see your faults. He wanted something done about it. He didn't even get a chance to. Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. From a people of unclean lips. And immediately the angel brought a coal and put it on his lips. And then he repented. And you know, sometimes repentance takes education. You see something you don't like within yourself. I don't just say, Lord, I don't like that. I repent from it and that's it. I say, Lord, now this is one of the most focal parts of this whole broadcast. I said, Lord, teach me how to kill this problem. I don't ever in your presence want to be like that again, but I don't know how to do it. Now God can work. And I take time and listen to what he has to say. I seek him for answers. I did it when the enemy tempted me with women. I did it when I wanted to learn how to love. See, repentance is not just repenting and turning and walking away, trying to do better. It requires sometimes you got to relearn some things, reject some things. And I said so many times, you can't just learn God's, receive God's revelation. You have to reject the darkness as it is. And it's worth it. So when God has a protocol for those that seek him, want to know him, and he has one for the wicked. Because if God didn't do this, the world would have been overrun with wickedness, and it's hard to come out of darkness. Once the darkness has set and brooded itself, it's hard to see out of it. I've seen so many young men. So many young men born in the 80s and 90s, they don't believe they're going to live to be 30. Because of all the entertainment, the music, what people were listening to, it caused them to feel like nothing. And when it comes to learning of God, they saw it as being worthless. Now, nobody says that, but they don't think church is worth their time, a moment of their time. They think all of it is just foolishness. But they know that's wrong. See, people, when people do something, when they make a choice, you make a choice and a counter choice. You choose to do one thing over another thing. People know that they don't have time to listen to read the word because they wanted to watch TV, or they had to cut grass, or they had to go work a second job. But they didn't fail to listen to the music they liked, or the news feed they wanted to listen to. And when they work to a friend, they still go and watch TV, their movies. Now that was on the top shelf of their life, while the word of God was not. Well, you're making me feel bad. That's the reality we live in. There are so many people, so many Christian people, they chose not to learn how to be a good husband, or how to be, if they're a woman, how to be a good wife, or how to be a better father. The word is full. They say children ain't born with a manual. The word of God is your manual. And anything you want to know, that did you know that every problem you could ever have is solved? I'm gonna narrow it down real good. The Sermon on the Mount, or Jesus' address to the seven churches. And then what the apostles wrote is more descriptive. It's more detailed. Then you got the wisdom of the Proverbs. You got the wisdom and the love and devotion of the Psalms. You got history. You can go back to Genesis and see what really happened. You got a real account of what actually happened. No matter what you believe, you're going to run into the facts of Genesis and the facts of Revelation. And the people who get on the bottom end of Revelation, they ignore the facts of Genesis. That's something that they're going to have in common. They didn't take time to know the Lord. They didn't ask questions. The Lord sent the Holy Spirit to give us answers. And I'm not even talking about the world right now. People that have a taste, they receive salvation, but they don't ever talk to the Holy Spirit. They don't think it's worth their moment, the moments of that time. They sit up and worry for hours and hours instead of talking to the Holy Spirit. Elder Lewis preached a message one time, said, get down to business with God, and he'll get down to business with you. I don't know another way to say this. And I've seen people counsel, they dance with folks, they cater to people and pamper people. You don't need that. You need to know him. If you want to know the Lord, know him. Take time and listen. When people have a good word, listen to them. It's so convenient. God made it so convenient. I mean, it's like walking up to a beautiful orange tree. And when you get there, just imagine the Lord pick one and peel it for you. You know, when I listen to ministers like Dustin and Heather and other people on YouTube, it's like the Holy Spirit took a message of old that's relative to me today, and he took that orange and peeled it for me. And then while I'm taking time to listen, he's taking it with his own clean hands and taking the slices of the orange and putting it in my mouth. And then he take the bottom of my chin and help me chew it. This is how the Holy Spirit does. He helps us learn if we want. And people, they don't even think about listening. They worry over nothing, over the troubles of this world. They choose to do that rather than just simply ask, Lord, how do I cure my problems? They don't see the problems ever leaving their life. And the devil, they just look at them fools. Now the devil call people fools. And he know they crazy. He said, I can't believe it. I bet the devil said, I bet they can't. I just can't believe that they turn God down like that. See, when people go to hell, the devil say, you the one who rejected Christ. He mock them. He know that God loves us. He don't love us. Now, understand that Satan is another problem. That's an evil that shouldn't even exist. But see, that's the depths of sin. Sin turns you into something. Lucifer was a wonderful angel. But when he went down that road and rejected God, that sin twisted his mind into something else. He's like a monster. The kind that'll kill for sport. The demons are the same way. They have bloodlust. They thrive on debauchery. That's something. If you can imagine the opposite of God, that's what you got. Anybody that get in pride, they become like that. Why do you think the Lord shortened our lives? from 120 years, I mean, from just under 1,000 years down to 120 years. See, and because of rebellion, 70 years. Not, the median of 70 and 20, 120 is 95. That's a tenth of what Adam lived, more or less. Adam lived to be 930 years. An average person lives to be a tenth of that. Why? Because sin does something to you. Reluctance will too. I don't know why people, it puzzles me. Especially when the Lord would send me to pastors and talk, and the things that he had me to write. I couldn't wait for them to receive those multiplied blessings. They mirrored what God told Abraham. He would make you a... They just wanted a church. God was going to multiply their ministry. And sometimes to the worldly mind or the reluctant mind, that's just too much and they can't believe it. Abraham fell on his face. But see, he had already left his kindred, his nation, his kindred, and his father's house. He had become used to God. And he began to understand him on a greater level. So he fainted. And God continued to talk about how he would raise up many nations and kings, not just one or two, many. See, God thinks in multiplication. If you have the character, he can build on your life. If you see, God is foundational. If you're sincere in your heart and you love him, he'll connect you to what's good. Now, you still got to take time and listen. I take time and I invest in my heart. I listen to the Holy Spirit. I listen to Henry Groove. I listen to Steve Quayle and others. People that God raised up to do different things. Timothy Alperin, I listen to him. I buy their books and tapes. When I listen to Kenneth Hagin, I mostly listen on the radio. In those days, I didn't have much money. So I didn't buy many tapes. I borrowed them. But I listened. And God, he blessed me. He got me to a point I could buy books and tapes. You know, we change. We grow from glory to glory. But reluctance comes from the world. It can be gotten rid of. It's a rejectable thing. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.